Do you have a seltzer?
I have one.
Oh,
I have a hot fruit barrel.
I got one for you.
Oh, you're the best.
Oh, there's no fizz. Sorry.
It's quite close enough. It's close enough. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Seltzer Time Podcast. It's your boy, Ricky, a.k.a. Dick Chuck, a.k.a. the man behind the can at Seltzer Time Official. Is that right?
That is correct.
That's right. Here is always the conversation accomplice, the man with the hunch about Worcester, Travis.
What is cracking, Fizzle Fiends? Welcome back to another episode of the Seltzer Time Podcast. And per usual, we are stoked that you are here. We managed to do the thing we normally do and botch up the intro. So welcome back. Now we're back fully into it. Ricky's having a moment. He's actually bleeding profusely from his thumb. Do you need to address this?
No, I have tape. I'm going to make it.
Yeah. Work. Okay. So listener, dear listener, thank you for being with us. Our friend Ricky is about to scotch tape his thumb that he somehow split open in the 3 minutes from his front door to the microphone while feeding cats.
Yeah. I'm just guessing. The only sharp thing. Oh, I either cut it on, like, quickly on a box, or I cut it on the cat can, like the cat food can. Probably the cat food can. But either way, I didn't notice it until I was already.
Is there a chance that some of your blood got in their food and now Larry and maybe have a taste for human blood? I think that might be happening.
They're so metal right now. As the Naomi's not even home. She's gonna get home, and it's just gonna be like, if you're 5-5-5, like just like the cats are going nuts.
Fuck you, mom.
Yeah. No, I honestly think. Maybe well, no matter what, swear. Dude, whatevs. The blood, like the like seeable blood, didn't show up until I was already on like the video, like on like sitting down in here. I noticed it when I first walked in. I was like, oh, my thumb hurts. And I was like putting stuff down, trying not to spill my tea, like the whole thing. And then as I was like trying to load on and then also answer something else, I noticed that there's my finger is red. And it got more red as time has gone on, to the point where it's not stopping. Luckily my shirt is also red, so I've been trying to wipe it in there, but it just keeps it's getting more and more messy. So I decided we're just going to tape it. I used to do this at Starbucks all the time. We had these, on the espresso machines, there's these two, like, I don't know what they're like now, but like 10 years ago, there were these two little clips underneath.
Okay.
And you'd reach under, 'cause that's where the sanitizer rag is. So like when you go to grab it, if it wasn't in the right spot, you'd like jam your fucking fingers onto this clip. Dude, it hurts so bad.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
I mean, if you were like going at a normal person's pace, you probably would just be like, oh, that's not the right thing. But of course, like I was 22, super hungover and way too caffeinated and like just going nuts the whole time. So I was like, blah, 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 and my hands were all over the place and I was getting cut always. But instead of taking the 2 seconds to go in the back room and get a band-aid, I was like, nope, don't have time for it. And I just grabbed tape and I duct tape or like whatever tape was like right there around my finger. And if it was super, super bad, I'd take like a sleeve, like a coffee sleeve.
Like a cardboard coffee sleeve?
Yeah, you like rip it, fold it, wrap it, and then tape around that. It was
that
gross.
Is actually cleaner than just the tape.
Because yeah, like right now I just have like full on tape on.
Yeah, you're putting adhesive into your system.
It's probably
at least a paper barrier. I knew a kid. We were working in a shop, and a kid cut his hand, and he put 2-part epoxy into it.
That's a bad idea.
No, it actually sealed it up pretty well, and it just like got to the point where he could peel it off like a scab.
Yeah, I think that's what drummers do. I think Travis Barker, I saw like a video of Travis Barker doing that once.
I was using news. This is a weird episode. Hey, let's get actually into like what we normally talk about. We left the listeners hanging on something last episode, right?
Was it more medical advice like we
no,
just gave him right now?
It was something that Steve, our producer, Post Malone, was going to tell us. Or One or the other way. I basically stopped you two from telling the story so that we could record it and we can record. Oh, I believe it was how you proposed.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't on the episode. It was after we were recording.
Oh, we didn't have that. Okay.
No.
Sorry, listener. So I'm going to catch you up. Steve and Ricky were having a little moment last week and they were like
bonding over pop.
Yeah. Starting to get to know each other. And then I stopped it. I stopped their story right in the middle because I'm an asshole.
No. Wait.
And I'm like, this is content. So for your listening pleasure, get to know our producer, Steve, who will hear whose voice you'll hear more as we keep going.
You will. Okay, so the backstory is I've been following Newfound Glory since 99. And
hell yeah.
Way back in the day, in the day of AIM, because I'm almost fucking 40.
Wait, you're an AIM? You're an AIMer, not an AIMer?
Yeah, AIM.
Oh, AIM. Dude, I was always AIM.
AIM.
You're still in your early 30s, though, right?
No, I'm 35.
I'm 30. Like, I was 3. I guess it doesn't matter. Either way, I became friends with Ian. And we talked all the time. He got me into some shows. Like, they played Amherst College in like 2000 and I got there for free. Saw them with Glassjaw and like Autopilot Off.
Loved Autopilot Off.
And
Glassjaw.
That show that we went to was the show that Autopilot Off changed their name to Autopilot Off.
Wait, what were they before?
Cooter.
That's fantastic.
Why did they change it?
I want to say they got there was some legal dispute somewhere.
Wait, there was another Cooter being like, guys, you can't call it. We are Cooter. Anyway, moving on.
I don't remember that. So
I think there's a Cooter. Isn't like one of the dudes from, what's that like? Just a good old boy. They like slide on the car hood. Just a good old fucking
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard. Isn't like the sheriff Cooter or something?
No,
I might have just made that up, but I'm pretty sure.
I think the sheriff is Big Hoss.
Yeah, Big Hoss.
Is there a Cooter at all in that show?
Let's look.
I mean, there is in the Daisy
just
Dukes.
Good old boy.
All right. So, what about Newfound Glory?
You're Davenport. You're right.
There was a Cooter.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
Okay.
I am a genius.
So, me and Ian talked all the time, and then life just got in the way. They got huge. Whatever. Fast forward to 2016. Yeah, 15. He posted a thing about them going to Alaska. And this was like post Steve getting kicked out for being a fucking molester. And I was like, dude, I had this plan a couple of months prior, 6 months prior of proposing to her at the yearly Starting Line Christmas show. We ended up not being able to go because of a snowstorm. So I postponed everything. I waited till my 30th birthday. And a week before, I messaged Ian and I'm like, yo, you guys are going to be together in Alaska. Can you do me the hugest favor? And we actually like reconnected a little bit because he posted a wicked old, what the hell's it called? Band flyer of like, I don't know if you've ever heard of the band, but they were called As You Wish.
No.
If you can find it, they had a song called Roy G. Biv, and it was amazing. And the dude who sang in there, we literally called him Johnny Dreadlocks. Kid had dreadlocks down to his knees. And he posted that. I was like, holy fuck. And he was like, I was like, wasn't that the thing that Johnny Dreadlocks was on? He was like, holy shit. And we talked a little bit. Anyways, I asked him to do that. He said he would and then forgot. Fast
asked
forward
him to do what?
Oh, sorry, to like hold a banner up saying like, Jill, will you marry Steve? Jill being my wife. And he forgot in Alaska, which I don't blame him.
Wait, were you in Alaska?
No. Take a picture and send it to me.
Oh
yeah. Okay. So when he forgot, it was like 2 days before I was going to do it, and I was like, oh, what the fuck am I gonna do? Like, I had a big plan and it failed.
Oh,
so I was just like, oh man, that sucks. And we were talking for a bit and he was like, hold on. And he's like, what's your email? Like an hour later, he sends me an email of Jordan, Chad, Cyrus, and him all holding separate signs in their houses saying like, Jordan has one like this, and I'll show you the picture, but it's like he's got the stupidest fucking like look on his face, and his hair is like looks like he got electrocuted. It says Jill, and then Chad is sitting in like a chair with his dog underneath him, and straight up like what's his name, Ian was like, yeah, Haley took that picture, so that's funny.
That's so sick.
Yeah. And then Cyrus, it was like you, and then Ian was like shirtless, obviously, and he's laying down and just like, will you marry Steve? And it was phenomenal. And but like, I still didn't know how I was going to pull it off. So the day of my birthday, like I had, the plan was we were having a cookout. I invited so many of our friends and her friends over, and she was wondering why her friends were here at my 30th birthday.
'Cause you're a nice guy.
Yeah. What I told my brother to do was take like a four side-by-side picture frame and put those pictures in there and then wrap it up with birthday wrapping paper. And so I don't know, people like the whole time I couldn't drink because I knew I was going to be an asshole. Not an asshole. I knew I was going
to
like,
just wanted to be fully in your head.
Yeah. And so everybody's like, when are you going to do it? I was like, I guess I'll do it now. And I like sit down to open presents, and she goes upstairs and starts washing dishes because she was pissed off that I was opening presents in front of other people.
No,
not like really pissed off, but like, she was like, that it's rude to open presents. Like, you're an adult.
Yeah.
So somebody had to go up and get her. It was like, Steve's not opening presents. They opened two. She had ended up getting me like a GoPro. And I was like,
sick.
Yeah. I gotta do this now. So I open up the happy birthday thing with the picture in it, and I look at it and I'm like, I know this is happy birthday, but this isn't for me. And she's standing right in front of me, and she's like, what? I'm like, this isn't for me, it's for you. And I hand it to her, and she opens it, and she like looks at it as I'm getting down on my knee, and I didn't even say will you marry me because it says it on the picture. And she goes, yes. And then like 10 seconds later, she's like, is that Newfound Glory?
Wait, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was the greatest fucking. She had basically told me if I didn't do like an epic proposal, she wasn't gonna say yes.
That is
jokingly,
very epic.
She kept dropping hints to do an epic proposal.
Nice, that's nicely so done.
Hmm. I so love that.
7 years later, Newfound Glory. Later, we're still married.
Hell yeah! See, look at that. Newfound Glory, just changing lives all the time.
Yep.
So yeah, that's our producer, Steve, and you're going to hear more. We'll have more stories as we get along.
Hell yeah. I'm going to mute myself now.
Ricky, we were getting pissed off about Polar again. What was that about?
Okay. So there's been some developments. The other day, I forget what day it was, because like it might have been like Friday or something, or I don't know. The last like couple days have made no sense to me, but I'm pretty sure it was Friday. Our friend Amy posted a can of Polar toasted coconut seltzer.
Yeah, like a can. I did see that. Yeah.
And I was like, hold on a second. That's the best flavor that they bottle, but they don't can it. So like, what's going on here? So I'm like, yo, where'd you find that? She's like, I'm so excited. Blah, blah, blah. They have it at like Shaw's, I think. And I was like, oh my gosh. I don't really need seltzer right now because I have a whole bunch, but I'm going to get that because I need, that's my shit.
Okay.
I'm a big coconut guy. That's the best coconut flavor.
You're coconutty. We all get it.
Coconutty. I had this whole thing back when I worked at Starbucks about how this whole episode's about me working at Starbucks, but about how I was an R&B sensation, and my name was Coco Nut. And it was just a lot of, basically I was like Usher, but just much better looking. I had a better six pack.
Is this real?
I mean, I wasn't better looking than Usher, but I did have, a persona. Yeah. I would like dance around. Like,
how many personas do you have?
There's a decent amount. You could probably, I should probably bring them back now that like,
can we do a post? Like, have you seen those posts where people do like different outfits and they do like the, it's like a choose your video game character.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We can and do we that. Could do it. All the personas of Ricky Nelson.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had also, I had a boy band. It was a 2-person boy band called Sticky Pump. Because like all the pumps, all the syrup pumps would get like super gross, especially like the vanilla, the ones you use all day. And like the pumps, sometimes if the closers didn't close, like didn't wipe them down, they would like stick, like you'd push down in the morning and it wouldn't come back up. That's what she said. So I just started like making up songs about it. And of course I had to make everything as sexy as possible when you're,
of course, Coconut. Of course.
That's what Coconut does.
That's Coconut Wood.
Coconut Wood. And then I roped in this poor guy, Mark, that I worked with, who wanted nothing to do with being in a boy band with me. but then after a while, I kind of broke him down and he would give me this little, like this little dance move from the right. He liked being on register and I was okay. Only on bar. So like, I'd be like banging out drinks, like making up like sexy songs. And Mark, this is like with a line out the door and like
course, customers would course.
Be like, what the fuck? Or they'd be like, this is sick. And then Mark would be like ringing them up with one hand and then like hitting me with this little like side arm move. Cause like, that's what he would do. And if he was in a real good mood, he'd like drop it down low and like bounce off the floor. It was sick.
What?
It was wild. It was wild.
Sticky Pump got nutty.
Dude, Sticky Pump. We really did. Got we were
cocoa nutty.
We should have went on tour, but.
So tell me more about this can.
So can, so Bowler's Can and Coconut, I'm super excited. And then of course, the first thing I think is like, it'd be sick if they told people they did this, but they want nothing to do with letting anybody know anything. So I got a little annoyed and I was like, yeah, whatever, you know, like we all know how this goes. Then today I happened to look at Instagram and our buddy Mark Bornstein posted this video, this picture in his story of Polar Seltzer. It's small batch. And I was like, oh, here we go. They're coming.
Small batch.
Polar's coming in 10 years later, trying to like ride the small batch train. And I was like, okay, guys, like you could have did this before, but whatever. Small batch Polar Seltzer. Naturally calorie free jalapeno citrus margarita. And it's like super flashy, like wild ass color, like flowers and stuff all over the box. It's got a black box, which I noticed, which is like very different for them. Yeah, it's really cool. So I was like, hey, that's kind of awesome. Maybe they should tell people about it. And of course, they didn't do that either. So I can't wrap my head around that move. Like,
to just have people discover it? Do you think they even need to? I mean, genuinely. I mean, they're never going to be at Coca-Cola or Pepsi level, but that's fine.
So here's the thing. There's two ways that I think about this, right? So when Liquid Death dropped that melon flavor, they still haven't posted officially that they have like a melons out, right? They didn't do ads for it. They didn't do anything because the tea was coming out. So it was just like, oh, cool. It's ready. Go. It just went live. That I thought was kind of cool, but they're also known for their marketing, like for their advertising. So,
well, and they clearly spent some money on the tea marketing.
Well, yeah, the tea, I mean, the tea is a total different game. Yeah, like that's
they're entering a new market, but like I loved those ads with the old ladies.
They're perfect. Do you know who those ladies were?
I know one of them was Jason Ellis.
Yeah, so one was Jason Ellis. The drummer was Max Morse, Toby Morse from H2O. It's his kid playing drums, yeah. Who also now plays drums in H2O. So he was the grandma playing drums. The grandma singing was oh man, what's her name? She's the lead singer of the Bomb Pops.
Not familiar.
I can't think of her name.
Sounds cool.
Such a sick band, and she's awesome. And then I don't remember who the other one is, but they had like one of their like social media person was one of the grandmas that was like lifting her cane up. Like they had like the whole crew in the video.
Gnarly.
Sick.
Gnarly.
So that whole thing, I was like, oh, that's cool that they didn't post about it. It was kind of more of like, let your audience find it and let them post for you. I love that move because it's different from what they always do. But they also are the most talked about beverage brand. Like, they don't need to do that. Polar, who's been around for like ever, but they like are only big in New England. And even here, they're like, they're big for sure. They're big. We like not trying to say they're not, but like their whole mentality, at least a couple years ago when I like knew a little bit more about them, was they were trying to grow like the national audience.
I don't see it happening.
It's not going to happen. They're not even remotely close to making the right moves with that.
Is passed. Like,
I don't know if it's passed. I think it's more just like
with the amount of competition on the market now.
Yeah. Like you can't,
there's just so
like
much more noise.
Yeah.
They had an opportunity when they were leading the charge, when it was really just them and LaCroix. And, but now that AHA and whatever, all the other bullshit ones that are out.
Well, AHA sucks.
One is Coke, one is Pepsi.
Bubbly's Pepsi. Bubbly's pretty good. There's a lot of Bubbly's that I absolutely love. And also they're always on sale at Shaw's, so I usually just get those. But there's like, they don't need to, you know what I mean? Like Bubbly's going to be Bubbly. They're not going to grow bigger or smaller. They're just, it's owned by Pepsi. They're always going to have that move. Polar has so much, but they're a much better seltzer. Like it is better than the other ones. They have the history behind them. They have a family story that they could lean into. They have a fucking mascot, which most of these things don't have, which that alone puts you above everybody else. Sell
looks
merch.
Pretty really close to Coca-Cola's mascot, which is also amusing.
True. But like, still.
I don't see it happening unless they got really innovative.
Yeah. I mean, they could even also just start by like maybe taking digital marketing seriously. They don't. Their website was made in 1981 and nobody's thought about it since 1981. But like June of 1981, it was launched in February.
It predates the internet. That's awesome.
That's how old it is. Orson himself developed it. No, like, I don't know. It just drives me nuts. Like it sucks having that be like this thing. Like I love it. It just is never, they're like, they want it to go one way, but they don't want to put the work into it to like make that happen. They don't want to be known as like just a Worcester brand, but they only do old fashioned marketing, which even that doesn't really work right now. Like it doesn't make sense to me.
But is it working? I mean, so here's the thing, like, this is what we know about Polar. I don't know why we stick in so much fucking, we spend so much energy talking about them and they couldn't give two shits about us, but that's not the point.
But that, yeah, but that's everything. Nobody cares about
us. Respect, respect. Is Polar, first and foremost, Polar doesn't really need their seltzer money, right? Yeah, it's a nice business to grow. Yeah, they should do it to grow business, but they are a canner. Like they private label shit, right? They make they make a bunch of other people's soda, and that's where most of their business comes from, as I understand it. Awesome. Secondly,
I don't know how, I mean, I know that they do that. I don't know how much of a, I don't know their percentages, but like,
I was talking to somebody and I believe it's
sure it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, a big chunk of their profit.
Yeah.
What's my other point? That like, in a way, they're also letting their audience do the marketing for them, because you just showed me two pictures from two people that found it, photographed it and put it on the internet. Are they not doing what Liquid Death's doing in a way?
So like, no, I mean, they're not even in the same question.
Fair.
It's not even the same.
Hey, fair. You know what I mean? I got to play devil's advocate here.
Let's just say Polar is like, I don't want to be the guy who's going to like use the easy tee up here, but like Polar's very much a minor league situation, hence the ballpark that they have their name on. And Liquid Death is very much big leagues. We're here to party. Every single article on LinkedIn is about Liquid Death. Like that's it. It's like it's just not, it's not even close. It's not even close.
One might argue it's your tailored stream, but regardless,
no, it's everybody in the world.
I've checked every LinkedIn.
Every LinkedIn. I'm in the LinkedIn.
I got LinkedIn on the links on the ins.
I put the in LinkedIn.
So this is fascinating.
That was stupid. yeah. So no matter what, there's two new polars. Well, there's like one old polar that they finally canned. And then there's a new polar that they just don't want to tell you about. And you got to go find it for yourself. And that's cool. I'm all about it. It's just like having a conversation with somebody that was involved in that. It's probably still involved in that place. And knowing that it was like, oh, well, we're not really going for like the local thing. We're trying to grow it out. But then watching them do nothing to reinforce that. That's what drives me crazy. If they were just like, hey, fuck it. This is what we do, baby. We run New England. I'd like, that's cool. You should do that. You could also be better at that too, but whatever. It's not my, I don't, what do I know?
If we ran Polar's marketing, we would have Polar Fest happening once a summer at Polar Park, where we'd bring a whole bunch of bands together. Everybody gets free seltzer all day.
Can't have bands there. It's not big enough. Did you see the dimensions situation they posted about?
No. Tell me more. This
is like a whole article that they can't do shows there. Cause like the, well, like they'll, it'll probably get figured out, but yeah, there's like a whole, there was some article on like Mass Live or something about how like, you can't drive a truck in, like the truck to like set the stage up. You know where like, so you know what a game when there's like that truck that comes out and drives along the pickup outfield, truck, or the whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Warning track. So like that is fine. Like that's a fucking pickup truck, but you can't get like a big enough truck through that little garage thing. So they technically can't do the shows. Also, like you're not going to get
it. You can get, ooh, I mean, at a certain point, build it and they will come. If they have money and they really want to make a fucking thing, they can make a thing real easy. You can,
yeah.
Colleges get mainstream bands all the time. You can find,
yes, but they're, it's different. Like, it's very different. So, like,
I disagree, but continue.
Trying to book a band that's the size that could sell out Polar Park, right? So like 8,000 people. You're not going to do that. Or you're going to... Those bands play the Palladium Outdoors in the summer, or they play Boston.
But that's exactly it. They play the Palladium Outdoors, and the Palladium Outdoors has proven that they can get that amount of people. If Polar Park wanted to, they could.
I disagree. There's nowhere to put a bus or buses down there. You'd be getting bus size bands, right? Also,
the teams travel on buses. They got to put them somewhere.
Yeah, but those would probably pull up and they'd get out. Or they'd stay at the hotel. I don't know the hotel that they use for the teams, but like, you know what I mean?
Continue.
Normally for a venue, you have an area, like if you're doing big of a show, you have an area for buses. They don't have an area for buses.
The Palladium has them on the street.
Yeah, but it's a designated area for buses. Where the fuck are you going to put them down there? There's no space for it. And then, like, I know, like, they're doing the parking stuff across the street, whatever. So maybe they can get an area for buses. But, like, who are you booking to play there? Like, you're not getting... They're not going to book the bands that would normally play Palladium Outdoors. Like, they're not. They're not going to do that. So who are you going to book?
You don't think
No.
I think they would. I think they could. I mean, again, if they had their shit together... If they had their shit together to play a baseball park.
We know they don't.
I feel like for a lot of bands to play a baseball park would be a novelty enough to do it, to explore. And again, if money talks.
That's the thing. It doesn't matter that it's like a cool novelty. Like it matters. Is it financially viable for both parties? The band, who doesn't matter if they sell their tickets, they get paid up front. But does it make sense for Polar Park, whoever's running their booking for these shows, to book a band there? Because as we've seen so far, the parking situation is a problem. Like it is.
They're going to solve it. They're already opening up the too much money at stake. They're going to solve it.
Yeah. There's too much money at stake, but I have zero faith in them figuring it out because we're now going on year 3 and the amount of problems that still keep coming up are adorable.
Like, I want to be clear. I'm no fucking Polar Park fan.
No, I know. No.
But like
I like baseball. Like I love baseball. I think it's cool that it's here. Like I like the idea of it, but the execution has been a little weird. So
and I agree with you. No, they've sucked on ice up to this point. Yeah. I'm just saying shit like this is a potential to actually make it cooler and was the shit that they billed us when they sold us this shit to begin with.
Yeah, but like if it's not sized properly already, that means they didn't really care when they pitched it.
Oh, no, I agree with you there.
Already yeah. know.
Like, we were no just argument pitching. There.
Yeah. So like, you're not going to
turns rebuild. Out they lied. Yeah. Big yeah. fucking surprise.
Shocker. So like, they're not going to rebuild that area. So now it's like, okay, cool. So you probably can't have, or you can figure out ways around it, but like there's codes and all that shit. So it's not it's like, oh, cool. Fucking Weezer's going to go play the Palladium or the whatever it's called, Polar Park field. Like, that's not going to happen. They need a stage. It needs to be a safe stage. It needs to be.
Oh, I agree. They're not going to play the field. I agree. I agree that there's like actual shit in place. But if they were able to get it set up the way Fenway sets up, I can see a lot of touring bands do it. If they had the. Yeah, I know.
I can't.
Regardless. That's fine.
I agree. I'm telling you, there's no way. Because they're never going to. The country thing, the one thing they could have had, they could have had the country market. Like the like C level country market, because like A level is not, they're not playing Worcester. B level plays Worcester on winter tours and they do the DCU Center. And it's like, and by B level, I mean like fucking shouldn't even really be touring, but like they kind of need to for a second. Then they go to up, like they go play Mansfield. That level plays the DCU Center. It's happened 4 years in a row. It's happening this year. And then now with Cliff owning Off the Rails and also owning the Palladium, they're doing their country fest at Palladium Outdoors because he owns it. And it's, I mean, it's like C level artists and fucking Nelly. That's what's up. But like, that's always going to happen there because why would he ever share his money with them? Makes no sense. So you're not getting the only country market you could book there and make it worthwhile isn't going to go there. They're getting booked the Palladium. Like,
I think you can find a classic rock band. I think you could find
it's the wrong size for a classic rock band. They're every single classic rock band is either too small and they're playing Indian Ranch, or they're too big and they're playing in Mansfield. Okay,
you are way too emphatic about this. You can't even just imagine, because there's a potential that you I don't know, man. I strongly disagree. I think we should move on.
I wanted this to happen so bad.
It doesn't sound that way. It sounds just being a contrarian.
I did. No. That's like never. That's also, thank you. I always want to get called that with Worcester stuff. And it's usually just like, toxic positivity and like all that shit. So thank you for giving me that one. I'm going to take it. I might get it tattooed on me tomorrow. But I really, really wanted this to work. Like, I probably wanted it to work more than anybody in the world. Because like, I love baseball. I think it's sick that we get to watch like guys who are just about to go to the big leagues play in Worcester. That's awesome. It's a great time. The main reason I wanted it here was for the concerts, because I was like, oh, this is cool. Now we can get to see like the Avett Brothers, or like you're not going to get big bands. It's too big for small bands. There's a weird middle market. And for the most part, they're going to play Boston anyway. But like, you could get like two or three shows a year. They'll probably start trying to do it with like Ricky Duran. It's like, well, that's not gonna work. Well, you know that. It doesn't even work at the Palladium. But either way, it's just not happening. It's not gonna happen. They're not gonna do it. And when they do finally start, if they do finally start booking shows, I guarantee you it's just not gonna be what you think it's gonna be. It's gonna be not good. Very bad. Very bad situation.
Okay. So I'm gonna go on record saying there's a lot that needs to happen before they have shows. But within 2 to 3 years, I feel like enough pressure is going to get put on them that they're going to do something, and I got to believe it's not going to fail. That's what I'm going to go on record at saying. I don't give a shit. I also want to go on record and say, I don't give a shit.
I don't either. I'd rather go to the Palladium every day of the week, but I just trying to, I can't help myself.
This has been a spicy one. I can't remember a time when you and I got on into a thing. No, this is good. I hope the listeners listened. I liked it.
Hey, that's what I'm here for. I'll talk about this shit.
We're not yes men. We're not yes men here. We are two bubble boys, and sometimes we pop.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. I'm a stoner, and I'm here just for the wordplay. But is there anything else we want to cover this week?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Oh, dude, I don't know. Oh man, I went to Bagel Time today. That was super good. I had the worst. What?
I didn't know Bagel Time was open up on Sunday. For some reason, I thought they were closed on Sundays.
No, I think they're just closed on Monday. Maybe Monday, yeah. Tuesday. They might be closed Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, dude, I tried really... Okay, so like Naomi was away all weekend. She's technically still away. She might be locked outside, but she hasn't texted me, so hopefully she's not. well, because I don't know if she... I texted her. I was like, hey, we're recording, but like if you need me to let you in, like obviously text me. But I don't know if she has a key with her or not. I know she doesn't have her car, yeah. So it's a whole thing. But like, so I was alone all weekend and I was like, cool, what am I gonna do? So I had this like grand plan. I had this whole list that I didn't even come close to accomplishing, but I was like, I'm gonna clean like the whole fucking house. I'm gonna surprise her. I did do most of that. So like I'm, but nice. I did it. Nice job. I did it this morning. She left on Thursday and I was like, cool.
Thursday. You did it. And again, as long as she doesn't listen to this episode, it just looks like you did it sometime.
No, I mean, I'll tell her. She kind of knows. I talked to her last night. But like, I ended up trying. I was kind of like experimenting with like how I can get through this weekend. I like, you ever like just be left alone and you're the only person who can make the decisions. And then you're like, oh my God, I can eat anything I want. Like, I can go out to eat every single meal, which would be weird, but like I could do it. I could stay in. I could mix it up a little bit. I could get delivery. I didn't know. I just like, I was so overwhelmed with like what, cause that's all I think about. I was like, what am I going to eat? And then I'm like bouncing in. Like I'm going to go on a little hike on Saturday morning. I'm going to get coffee with Mike D, and then like the snow happens. So none of that happened. Then I ended up like having a pretty not so ideal dinner Thursday night. And it just kind of fucked me for the rest of the weekend. Like it didn't, I couldn't eat food that was good for like 3 days. Like I just couldn't do it.
You were sick to your stomach?
No, I wasn't sick at all. It's just everything sucked. Like food I made wasn't good. The food I had on Thursday that I got out, not very good. I tried having leftovers for lunch, not good. So it ruined, it didn't ruin, I shouldn't say it ruined, but like it wasn't good twice. And then,
wait, did you said the food you made wasn't good and then you tried it as leftovers and was upset again?
No, that the
wasn't
food, good. The food I got out on Thursday, like I don't want to say where I got it, because like
that's fine.
It's never been bad. It just wasn't ideal. It just didn't hit. And then I was like, oh, I have like a couple things left over. I'll save it. I'll toaster oven it. We'll see what happens. And it just was bad again. And I was like, this sucks. So that I kind of fucked myself up with two meals. I made myself food. I went to the grocery store on Friday morning, like before work, which is weird. Dude, what a cool move, but also strange world. And then I like got steak. I was going to make this cool steak tip thing I saw on TikTok, but I got a weird steak. Instead of just like buying fucking steak, like normal steak, and like doing my move, I bought like, it was like rosemary
tips.
Yeah. And it fucking sucked. Like they were gross. The beef was gross. It was a bad situation. So that ruined one meal like fully, and it ruined my idea for a second meal. And I was like, fuck this. I'm going to order out. I never ordered out. I ended up making eggs. I like just made myself like a breakfast scramble last night, but I was like, okay, the root of the thing is I spent a lot of the last couple of days enjoying a lot of weed seltzers and just like playing video games.
Yeah, that's exactly what I assumed happened.
It wasn't like the best idea for me. Like it ended up just being like a weird weekend where I was like, am I depressed? Or like hungry. Like I literally spent like 48 hours just like playing the same. I did win 2 out of 3 Stanley Cups. So that was kind of sick.
Played 3 seasons of this game.
Technically I played 5 seasons, but I deleted it after the second one and the first thing. And I like started a whole new thing.
Went hard.
Yeah. I haven't slept much. I'm so stupid.
No, it sounds like you needed to unleash and to recharge.
I woke up today and I was like, I didn't do any of the stuff that I wanted to do. Like, what happened to me? And then I felt like guilty about it, but like it also didn't really matter. It was just like whatever. But I don't know. It was weird. So I decided when I woke up, So like last night I like shut the game off at like 6 and I was like, I'm done. I can't touch this thing anymore. Like my life is spiraling out of control. So I like made these eggs. They were fucking horrible because I forgot to season the potato. I forgot to season stuff. I just started eating and I was like, what did I do?
I should have texted you. We were out at sundown last night.
No, everybody texted me. Like I literally was like avoiding, like I like not like, I'm not, I don't know. It was.
I was with Mike D. I feel like you would have responded.
I was supposed to meet up with him, and like I was supposed to hang out with Brendan and Joey. There was a whole Ian. There was a whole everything was happening, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll let you know." And instead, I was like, "I'm just like sad." This sounds way more emo than it was, but I was like, "I just don't want to be around people." But I think I was also just like way too fucking high, and
sounds like you might have been
just bummed out about my food choices. So this morning I woke up and I was like, fuck this. Took a shower, went to bagel time. And as soon as I got home and took a bite, I was like, dude, why didn't you just get bagel time on Friday? Like you should have just got fucking bagel time. It makes everything better. Today was great. I crushed through, got a bunch of stuff done. I've been killing it. I'm like not really working, but kind of worked a little bit this morning. I like, it's like nuts. Everything's crazy. And now I'm just like, hey.
I didn't know your life was so contingent upon the quality of your meal.
It is. It's fucked up, dude.
We have learned some fascinating things about Ricky this episode.
It is. I'm nothing. Like, I'm no good at life without, like, if I'm not eating something that makes me happy and I don't have caffeine. If I have those two things, I'm pretty fucking cool with everything. I'm like, I don't care. Oh, you want to bash nails into my fucking kneecap? That sucks. But, like, fine. Whatever. It's cool. If I don't have that, and if you're like, hey, can you pass me something? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? You want me to pass you something when I'm hungry? Like, that's like pretty much what happens. It's
nicotine and cannabis, but same.
So weird.
And like, caffeine.
I mean, caffeine's my thing, but like food, if I'm not like happy, I don't care if I have a shitty thing, like a shitty meal every once in a while, that happens, life happens. But to have like 7 straight meals of disappointment was like too much for little me to handle. So I put on Key and Peele last night and just watched that for like 2 hours. And then I fell asleep and Naomi called me at 11 and I was like, hello. I thought she was home. And she's like, hey, I was like, what time is it? It was like 11:15. I was like sleeping on the couch with maybe.
PM?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
It was great. But yeah, so I basically, moral of the story, even though I'm not drinking, I still act like a 12-year-old when I'm left alone. Instead of being out being like, yeah, I'm going crazy. It's just me being like, I'm going to play video games. And I ate a whole carton of Goldfish. That was the only thing I could eat that didn't suck.
Carton?
Pretty much. There's like a...
The big cardboard box one.
The carton. Yeah. There's like a bowl left, maybe.
We have nuts. Learned a lot just, about you this episode.
Dude, like, I also didn't drink any tea. Well, I drank like those iced teas, but I didn't drink any like tea. So this is my first tea in days. I don't know. I was properly hydrated, though. I drank so much fucking water. It was insane.
Well, I believe. I'm sure it was liquid death.
No. I had a couple liquid deaths. But like, no, just like filling up my little cup. Just going crazy. Oh,
actual still water.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't, like, I usually don't buy the Liquid Death still water because, like, I don't, there's fucking water in my fridge. But, like, I'll buy it if I'm out, but that's it. But I usually just buy the carbonated one. And then the flavors are my main go-to. But, yeah, I don't know.
That makes two of us. I think you've done it, people. I think you've made it through an episode of Seltzer Time that Sorry. Has been a weird one, but I really dig it. We learned a lot about Ricky this episode. I thank you all for coming out to No Jerks Network. I actually don't know how it went by the taping of this, but I'm assuming it went well.
Oh, did you, heads up, if you're listening and you didn't go, but you wanted to go, but you went on the wrong day, because I think Redemption Rock posted that it was
Thursday. Yeah.
Julie Battage was like, hey, isn't it Thursday? Isn't it on Wednesday? And I was like, yeah. And then I realized, like, I didn't even see that they posted the wrong day, and I just shared it. And I was like, dude, like, I'm just, maybe I should just not have weed seltzers.
Or maybe should have more weed seltzers.
No, maybe I should like only have one and not be like, let's just see what happens if I'm high for a weekend, which I've never done before. I don't like it. It's not for me. It's not for me. I'm like a once in a while I can have one guy.
Respect. I mean, that's how I am with cocktails. And all of a sudden I've gone into a little bit of a cocktail excursion.
Dude, I got 5 days and then I'm at 3 full months.
Proud of you.
So I'll have a cocktail at some point in the month. Maybe.
Stupendous. Well, thank you very much for listening. Find me at travisduda.com or on Instagram at hunchbacktravis.
You have a website? Travisduda.com?
Of course I have. I have travisduda.com. Yeah, I got tons of shit, man. I got an Etsy store. I'm trying to make these floaty friends pop off.
Oh, dude, that's what I wanted to say. Those are so sick. Like, thanks, man. Naomi and I talk about them all the time. They're fucking really great. Yeah, they're awesome. Like, you're killing it. They're really, really fucking cool. I love them.
All right, next episode, we'll talk floaty friends.
Hell yes. Floaty friends. It's beautiful.
Love it.
You're a genius when it comes to like the double F. Like,
I love alliteration.
If I didn't know better, I would think that you named the Foo Fighters because you got Fizzle Fiends, you got Floaty Friends, TravisDuda.com. But like, you're like,
I spell TravisDuda.com with two silent F's. That's right.
It's like F Travis, F
Fiduta. Travis, Faduda.
Faduda. Yeah, you guys can find me at DickChuck77. On all the stuff and Seltzer Time Official on all the stuff. And if I ever don't post, it's probably because I'm sad and hungry and you should just tell me where to go eat. Oh, also that spot you sent over the sandwich. So many people have asked me about it. And I'm like, unique
cafe.
I don't know.
It's where Blanchard's Cafe was. That's off of Cambridge Street. My friend Nadine's running it. I did the logo. I'm doing their menu. Great Jamaican food.
Let's just tie this quickly back up with something from earlier in the show. Please. Remember I told you my friend Mark was like hitting me with the other half of Sticky Pump, the dancer? His parents owned Blanchard's. That's so funny.
Blown.
That's crazy.
See you next week, people.
Dude, that's sick. Yeah, go eat there. Bye.